Welcome to The God Solution, where we discuss answers to humanity's questions about God and God's answers for humanity's questions. I'm Nate Herbst, and I'm thrilled that you're tuned in for the third part of our interview with Dr. Gary Habermas. This will conclude our interview with him on near-death experiences. If you missed the first two, you can go to godsolutionshow.com and get both those. Again, that's godsolutionshow.com. Dr. Gary Habermas is a world-renowned expert on the reliability of the New Testament documents and the authority on the historical evidence for Jesus and his resurrection. He's the Distinguished Professor of Apologetics and Philosophy and the Chairman of the Department of Philosophy and Theology at Liberty University, where Aaron and I both did our seminary degrees. He's authored 39 different books. Please visit Amazon.com, type in Gary Habermas, and check out some of those books. Here we pick up on the last part of our interview, talking about how naturalism is on its way out.
I think naturalism's on their way out today, evidentially. I think there's a reason the polls are changing dramatically, not toward Christianity, but toward some supernatural kind of view.
Absolutely. You know, I took all these classes, my undergraduate degree being in chemistry. I took a lot of high-level chemistry and physics and several biology classes, a lot of these different classes. And I don't think I ever had a science professor in any of those classes, a geology class, that would firmly come down saying there's no supernatural world, it's all just purely material. I don't think I ever had one. They were all open to the possibility of the supernatural.
Really?
But it was on the other side of...
You went to a secular school?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
It was on the other side of the campus, you know, the social sciences and that area of campus where people were so firmly against the supernatural, and they would always use as evidence the science, right? But I never saw any of the scientists, at least my professors.
Well,
that...
I think since I went to did my grad school in the 70s, I think things have changed significantly. Now, I mean, I know we've just barely introduced the topic of resurrection and kind of we just kind of put a lot of these things together, you know, resurrection, miracles today, indies. But I mean, the same thing happened in resurrection. Resurrection studies. I told my PhD students in the 1970s, if you said to somebody, if you were in grad school and you said, I believe there's a lot of evidence for the empty tomb. Now, in my studies, I have a list of 23 evidences that critics use to show the tomb was probably empty. Okay, if you had said that in the 70s, I believe in the empty tomb, if they wanted to, they could have said to you, I'm just guessing, but you must be an evangelical, right? Because pretty much only evangelicals believed in the empty tomb. Or if you said, you know, I think Jesus appeared to his disciples, and I think he appeared bodily, that would be a giveaway, and they might say, if they wanted to, you're an evangelical, right? Now, I want to be clear, back in the 70s, it was still a very common view that Jesus was raised, but many thought he was raised disembodied, sort of like an evidential hologram. I mean, he was really there, but it wasn't bodily. Today, the predominant view is that Jesus was raised bodily. Today, the predominant view is that the tomb was empty. So I'm just saying, across the board, be it medical doctors with miracles, like you're saying, or scientists who see a lot of goofy phenomena that they are now just willing to admit a little more, New Testament scholars saying, yeah, empty tomb and appearances, NDEs, which anybody can read about anywhere. This is a very intriguing and exciting time to be alive.
Wow. Well, thank you, Dr. Habermas, too, for your contribution to this, because your work on these issues has definitely not been a small part of why there's been a shift, I think. It's really...
Thank you. But in a way, I tell people, they'll say, hey, you were a doubter, right? I mean, I was going through doubts for years, and my view was you could believe the resurrection of Jesus by faith if you wanted to. And there were some interesting evidences, but you couldn't prove it. You'd have to believe it by faith. You know, I used to hold that view. I held it for years. And it was only later that was kind of impressed upon me that, you know, there really is evidence. It's like, whoa, there's more out here. But one thing that characterizes all these positions, be it resurrection, common, you know, present-day miracles, NDEs, another changing field is that skeptics now think Jesus probably did predict his death and our resurrection. And that's super incredible, because to rise is one thing. To know you're going to rise is doubles it, because it means now it automatically means it's part of a plan. You know, there's a worldview here. So this is all exciting. I think the only thing I'd say to your question is you kind of have to know where to look. You kind of have to know what rock to turn over. I mean, I remember in the book of Job, where Job is challenging his three friends, and in Job chapter 32, a fourth friend comes on the scene, Elihu. And he basically says to Job, "Job, if God wants to be silent, what business is that of yours?" But then he says, "As a matter of fact, Job, God's not silent." He says, "He has spoken to you first one way and then another, but you're not listening." And he goes and gives four ways God's active in the world today. Well, I often, when I'm talking about that passage, I often use the song from wherever it was, 60s or 70s, "You're looking for love in all the wrong places." And I think that's basically what he's saying to Job. You're looking for love. You're looking for God's interaction with you in all the wrong places. I think today we don't turn over the right rocks, maybe because if you're a naturalist, I mean, why would you want to turn over those rocks?
Yeah, exactly.
It might make you ask some questions that are very uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
But you can turn them over. The data are there.
So you claim that NDEs evidence the first few minutes of the afterlife. Can you explain that for us?
Yeah. I do that in a number of places, but chiefly that's the theme that I develop in my portion, the NDE portion of the co-authored book with J.P. Moreland, Beyond Death. And basically what I say is, even if we have evidence data for NDE phenomena, and I think we do, it generally only goes a few minutes after measurable brain and or heart death. Sometimes it goes longer. There are a few cases that go a few hours. And there are some wild ones that it would take quite a while to get into, but that go longer than that. But for the most part, these are minutes to just a very few hours. And so I call that minimalistic life after death. What I mean by that is you can't use NDEs to start plotting out what heaven and hell are about, or to talk about heavenly or hellish furniture. You know, this is here, this is there, you know, this is what's going on. That's what I mean by, you know, you can't do an eschatology with this. But if you're a naturalist, you shouldn't be seeing or experiencing anything 20
exactly.
minutes after you die. And so, I mean, the bad news is, you know, we got 20 minutes. The good news is we got 20 minutes.
Exactly.
So you might wish for more than that, but that's pretty hard on naturalism.
Yeah, it is. It's just fascinating. So how do NDEs relate to our Christian faith specifically?
Well, you know, that's a good leading question after what we just said. I think it relates to the Christian faith in this way. Christian philosophers often differentiate between two kinds of evidence. Evidence of the natural world, evidence that almost any religious person could say amen to, and evidence about what only Christians or maybe Christians and Jews could say amen to. Now, in the first category, you would have something like God exists. And you might be standing shoulder to shoulder with, you know, you might have a Christian, a Jew, a Muslim, a Hindu, and a New Ager who says, yeah, I'm good with that. God exists. And now we don't have anything in this evidence that says, well, all of you are wrong and only I'm right. But there's still a lot of value for it, because to say that there's a God leaves the naturalists again, which is the dominant Western worldview, leaves them with a major problem. All right, in that same category of God's existence would be evidence for absolute ethics, answers to prayer if you have some empirical type cases, and I would argue that too, near-death experiences, things like that. Now, you could be with these guys, and I mean, I have an article in my file by an Eastern religion, and the lead article in this magazine is by a PhD in physics who argues a cosmological argument for God's existence. So, I mean, it's kind of cool. It's still valuable, though, because naturalism is the odd man out, and that is often our number one debate partner, you know, or the naturalist. Mm-hmm. Then there's the second kind of evidences, of which I think most Christians who study evidences would say by far the major one is the resurrection of Jesus. Specific evidences, but in that category would go things like resurrection. I would separate this, but I think a separate argument there would be Jesus' predictions of his resurrection, contemporary miracle cases, prayers that are done in a Christian context that have measurable results. And I would also include in the Christian, I think there's more in this specifically Christian case, in the Christian context. But if the Shroud of Turin is Jesus' burial garment, I mean, that points to Christianity, not to Hinduism, for example. Mm-hmm. So you have these generic religious arguments, and they're valuable for two reasons, because they say that religious phenomena in general are true, and they say that naturalism looks like it's false. And those are both important conclusions. Then we've got to move over to the specifically Christian one. So NDEs, to give you an example, NDEs can open the door, but to afterlife with somebody who doesn't believe in it. But resurrection is what gets us through the door to say, hey, here's the Christian response to afterlife.
Absolutely.
So what there, there's a use of both evidences. NDE would be general. Resurrection would be specific.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The God Solution on KDUR, 91.9 and 93.9 FM, and KDUR.org online. You can also get our previous shows at GodSolutionShow.com. What do you say about NDE research that seems to oppose Christianity, such as Hindus or avowed atheists saying that they've had wonderful NDE experiences?
Yeah, Nate, that's a great question, because I get that one a lot. I mean, there's so many of those cases, people who present things that basically argue for either pluralism, you know, all religions are ways to God, or syncretism, where they kind of combine the different religious beliefs, and sometimes those two run together. Now, first of all, I'm not proposing this, but first of all, before we just pass right over that, they would still say that naturalism is wrong, so that naturalism just keeps getting hit on this.
They lose on all sides here.
They lose on all sides. But what do I say? Let's take your one case there. What do I say to an atheist who says, man, I had an NDE 3 years ago. I wasn't just a mild atheist. I was a vociferous atheist. And all of a sudden, I'm in the presence of this, I don't know, obviously shining spiritual creature, who knows what it was. Man, was I uncomfortable. And I was standing there in front of him, and I don't know, I zipped back into my body, and all I can tell you is I'm not a naturalist anymore. I believe in life after death, but I had a very profound, peaceful feeling, so I concluded that being an atheist wasn't about to keep me from eternity, and now I believe in an afterlife. Those kind of arguments are very common, and they bother a lot of people. And sometimes Christians go, well, that's why I think these things are the devil, and they kind of throw them all out, whereas I'm going to wade in there and I'm going to say, look, a bad argument doesn't nullify a good argument. Now, The reason I'm taking part of NDEs is because I have good arguments, i.e. the evidential cases. But, and I already kind of hinted where I was going here, I distrust all heavenly reports, as in I saw an angel, I saw Jesus, I saw God, I saw Shiva, I saw Muhammad, I saw, I don't know what to do with those. Because when I, even the Christian ones, and by the way, hell experiences are fairly rare. I mean, percentages are anywhere from like 2% to maybe, well, I think one report's as high as 20. But the hell cases are fairly, I mean, you know, who wants to go around talking about going to hell anyway?
Yeah.
But they're fairly low. But you might say, well, man, jump on that one. That sounds like you could use that for Christianity. Well, see, the knife cuts the same way. Mm-hmm. How do I know you were in hell? Well, because that's what the Bible says. Great, great. You want to talk about the Bible, that's fine. And by the way, reliability of Scripture would be another one of those arguments over on the
Absolutely.
Religious but Christian side. But to tell you the truth, maybe your account makes great sense. I mean, on my Christian view, I know some cases, Nate, of guys who were atheists, unbelievers, went to hell or believed they went to hell, became Christians in the NDE or directly after the NDE, and now they're sold-out Christians. Well, I can't vouch for anybody's personal testimony, but would I die for your saying you went to hell? I mean, I don't have any I don't have any handles. I don't have any evidential things. And so therefore, to me, the knife cuts both ways on most spiritual type experiences on the heaven side, what we might call the B side. I'd rather talk about the A side, what they report from this world and from parking lots and, you know, family members on visiting room floors and what mom made for dinner. I'd really rather talk about those everyday things. Whether your view agrees with mine or doesn't, how do I know if you saw a figure of light? How do I know you're not having oxygen deprivation? How do I know you live in the, because you live in the Bible Belt in the South, you're just seeing what you were told? How do I know that as a child, you, an atheist, were told, watch out, you're going to go to hell, and it's like having a bad dream last night? You know, I can't answer those questions. Why? Very simple. No evidence. I can't measure them. So when it comes to the heavenly realm, I can smile and say, wow, yeah, well, I can see how that would influence you. But I don't go teaching those and saying, I'm going to make my eschatology based on NDEs because I don't have any data.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So the main area of study is these quantifiable experiences, these
right.
evidential experiences. And the other ones are interesting, to say the least.
Interesting. So now, if you could verify those, yeah, the NDE might verify Christianity or not for people who claim I was an atheist and God let me into heaven. That would be nice. They would go beyond that. But since I don't have any evidence that, quote-unquote, God let you, an atheist, into heaven, I don't have any evidence for that. I can only talk about what your mom made for dinner last night. And on that subject, the Muslim, the Hindu, the Jew, the Christian, all say amen. And the naturalist scratches his head and says, I've got to check this out.
Yeah.
Because it's not working for me.
Absolutely. I guess when I've heard of this too, it was a little confusing at first that there are so many positive experiences. And what came to my mind, maybe I'm wrong here, but as a Christian, I believe that according to Philippians 2, there will be a day when every knee bows before Christ. And
right. mm-hmm.
I believe that when you, whether you believed or not, see Christ face to face, he will be coming across as, I mean, he is love. So, of course, I would recognize him as loving. That doesn't have anything to do with what will happen after my judgment. But it would be,
yeah.
it would be very.
And if you ask me why I believe every knee will bow in Philippians 2. I mean, I can say a number of things. I can talk about the Bible being reliable. I can talk about that being an early creed that is pre-Pauline and comes from good sources. I would mostly say, because I have tremendous evidence for the resurrection, and because I believe Jesus predicted ahead of time, therefore a Christian worldview, God's in control of this thing, that's what predictions are, if God says every knee is going to bow, every knee is going to bow. Because
yeah.
I have the evidence that leads right up to that.
Yeah.
But if you're going to tell me you had an NDE and you're a Christian or a non-Christian, hey, listen, I just talked to a good friend of mine. This is days ago. Huh. I have known this guy for 20 years. Very committed Christian, as far as I know. Uh-huh. And he was diagnosed with very rapidly growing cancer. Hmm. I mean, by the time they discovered it, they said he could die any day.
Wow.
And I talked to him, Nate, and he said to me, I don't know how to tell you this, but I had a near-death experience, and it was hellish.
Hmm.
Well, you know, one comforting thing I could say to him is, there's no evidence that you had that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you separate that from a bad dream? So I'm not too terribly troubled by the reports that say I'm an atheist and I went to heaven. Or,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, God's different paths up the same mountain. He expects us to kind of put them all together and love your neighbor and live forever. I mean, first of all, those aren't threatening anyway. They don't threaten me. I just wonder what happened to the biblical response that Christ is the way, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't have to answer those questions is my point, because all they are experiences. And I don't make a habit of doing any of my philosophy, science, or religion based on someone telling me they had an experience.
Absolutely. So how do NDEs relate to metaphysical naturalism? We've kind of discussed this, and the belief in a purely material universe. I guess just to kind of clarify.
Yeah, I think they're hurting. I think the naturalists are hurting, because maybe I should clarify something I said for your audience. Mm-hmm. I said naturalism is the most dominant view in the West. By the West, I mean North America, Western Europe, Australia, and there's a few other parts of the world that are like that. But if you're in a university setting, if you're in medical school, if you're a lawyer, if you're a professor, you're not just going to come up against it. It may be the most predominant view you see. I think they're hurting right now. I think the world of evidence is going against them on several fronts. And if you said, like, well, what? I would say arguments for God's existence. Now, some of these, again, are general, and some of them are specifically mm-hmm. Christian. But I would say evidence for God's existence, healing miracles, certain double-blind prayer experiments. I haven't mentioned that one yet. In NDEs, of course, resurrection of Jesus, predictions of the resurrection. What do you do with the shroud of Turin? I mean, I'm not going to die. The shroud's not a hill I'm going to die on, but it's interesting evidence.
Mm-hmm.
These are some of the things. By the way, critics have told another flip-flop view that's changed from the 70s. When I went to graduate school, nobody believed, unless you were an evangelical, virtually no one believed, I guess conservative Catholics too, but virtually no one believed that Jesus did other miracles in his life, healing miracles, and especially not the nature miracles. Well, those are hot topics today. And the predominant view is that things just like what the Gospels reported or very like them actually occurred. Almost nobody denies that.
Wow.
But if Jesus is doing miracles, and I'm thinking about my friend here, Ed Yamauchi, who's a retired historian from University of Miami of Ohio, University, Ed says that Christianity is the only belief system of whom miracles are reported by their founder within a generation.
Hmm.
So, I mean, I have a lecture where I put these things in a list to answer your question, problems with naturalism, and I have 10 of them. 4 of them are religion in general, where the Jews and Christians and Muslims and Hindus can say amen, and 6 of them take us further because they favor Christianity in particular.
And I think that's a good approach to apologetics, first establishing the existence of God, and then from there going on to describe why Christian theism is the most accurate worldview.
Yeah, I'd say God and religion, some kind of mm-hmm. religious experience, and then ask the question, what kind of religious experience?
Wow. Okay, so we've talked a lot. You've given us so much of your time. I don't want to take your whole day. But as we close, what resources would you suggest for those interested in this issue of NDEs?
I'm a reviewer for the only peer-reviewed near-death studies journal in the world. It's called the Journal of Near-Death Studies out of the University of Virginia. Just because this is a minefield and just because it's a view where, like we've said, I mean, if there's one idea that's been going through this, our discussions, it's that, you know, people can get a lot of either true or false impressions from hearing this or that. So because of that, let me recommend one of the chief researchers. This fellow's name is in the top, you know, 10 biggest names, but he is a very committed Christian, and I think, therefore, it would be helpful to Christian listeners. His name is Michael Sabom, S-A-B-O-M. He's a cardiologist in Atlanta, Georgia. Mike Sabom. He did a book back in 82 called, it's a medical perspective on near-death experiences, Recollections of Death, a Medical Perspective. But in 1998, I believe, he did a book with Zondervan, and it's called Light, not Life, but Light, L-I-G-H-T, and Death. And it's a book on testimonies on NDEs, and he's got a bunch of stats in the back where he puts some of these together, and he actually argues something that I don't think anybody else has, and that is that the data actually show, NDE data, show that Christians come away from NDEs more committed to their Christianity than people in other religions. So that book in particular, Light and Death by Mike Sabom.
Are you currently working on any new projects or books that our audience should be aware of, I guess, in addition to the life work that you mentioned previously?
Yeah, no, the hot thing, I always have little articles that I've committed to here and there. But the main thing I'm concerned about right now is this magnum opus thing on the resurrection.
So where can our audience learn more about you and your work?
Well, I think probably the best place is to go to my website, which is no bells and whistles. It's simply GaryHabermas.com. And there's a lot of things there. The two most popular topics, as actually we discussed today, resurrection and near-death experiences. There are interviews, articles, arguments, doubt, by the way, for any listeners going through questions of doubt, two of my three doubt books, which are out of print, are on the website, and they're free of charge. So there's a lot of material there, and hope people will make use of it.
Well, thanks so much for being on The God Solution, Dr. Habermas.
Not a problem. I enjoyed it. Thank you so much for your great questions.
Have a great evening.
Good night. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I hope everything Dr. Gary Habermas shared this morning encourages you towards the reality that Jesus Christ really is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way to heaven except through him. The Bible says that you and I are sinful and that our sin separates us from God, but that if we put our faith and trust in him through prayer, we can be adopted into his family and guaranteed an eternity with him in heaven. If you'd like to do that this morning, say, Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are, that you lived a perfect life on this planet, and that you died for my sins and rose again to give me new life. Please come into my life as my Savior and Lord. The Bible says that the second you put your faith in him, you'll be adopted into his family and can look forward to an eternity with him. Please visit GodSolutionShow.com to get all of our previous shows, including these interviews with Dr. Habermas, and for a list of churches that you could visit this morning. As we conclude the show, like I always say, an open mind, honest heart, humble disposition, and diligent search always lead to Jesus. And that's my hope, that if you don't know him yet, you'll find him this morning. And that if you do know him, you'll grow closer to him this morning than ever before. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful Sunday afternoon.